Merry Christmas, my friends in Jesus, and His grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. The Word of God this morning from the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, a portion of the story of the birth of our Lord. While they, Mary and Joseph, were there in Bethlehem, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of God. Please be seated. Why did the angels sing the Gloria? Why do we sing it this morning? Why did the shepherds sing the Gloria, as we just read in the text, when they returned glorifying God? You know, singing is such a great gift of God, especially at this time of year. How could you celebrate Christmas without singing? And you don't even have to be good at it to really enjoy it. I think of a friend of ours from back up in Michigan who was almost a perfect monotone when he sang, but he loved to sing the hymns anyway, and he would just belt out those glorious hymns of our faith. And I remember a time or two after a worship service when he would complain to me that I had picked an unfamiliar hymn that he couldn't sing very well. And I was taken aback a little bit, you know. But then he would laugh to kind of cut the tension, because he knew as well as I did, there is no such thing as a hymn that he could sing well. But he loved to sing, if only to make a joyful noise to the Lord. And perhaps the singing that we enjoy more than any is the singing of the Christmas carols. Even some of the most crusty-hearted, humbug kind of people who would never otherwise open a hymn book or otherwise open their mouths to sing, when it comes to singing Silent Night, Holy Night, even their hearts are warmed and their vocal cords are loosened. Even they want to be a part of singing that precious carol. And the question is, why? What is it about the carols of Christmas that would make even a garlic in your soul kind of Grinch want to sing along? Of course, another favorite Christmas carol that we all love is the one we just sang, "Angels We've Heard on High." And I think the reason is obvious. It's the chorus, isn't it? It's the chorus. Man, we love that beloved, familiar chorus. It's just plain fun to sing. And if you're out with a group of Christmas carolers or you listen to a children's choir singing this chorus, this hymn, you will notice that whenever they get to the chorus, suddenly the volume crescendos, right, to a forte, a strong forte, and the gusto level goes through the roof, and they just belt it out, "Gloria." And then you get to the second stanza, and things start to fall apart a little bit. A few of the stronger singers kind of carry the melody for the rest of us. "Shepherds, why this jubilee? Watch inspire heavenly song." And then we get back to the chorus. And everybody belts it out, "Gloria in excelsis Deo." And then you get to the third stanza and it gets even a little weaker. But man, then you get back to that chorus again. And we all want to go for the Gloria, right? What is it about that song? Why did the angels sing it? Why do we sing it in our celebration of Christmas? Well, you know the story. The angel appears to the shepherds with the good tidings of great joy that a child had been born who is Christ the Lord. And they told the shepherds, you will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then suddenly every angel in heaven wants to be in on this part of the song. And they all join in the Gloria. Just like, you want to sing it with me right now, right? Just to get out of your system. Let's sing it, right? Together. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Why did they sing that? Because Christ was born. Christ was born for them too. The angels. Did you ever stop to think about that? Ponder that? It goes way back to the Old Testament. In the book of Job, toward the end of the book, God delivers his speech to Job about how little Job really understood. And in the midst of that speech, he mentions this. He says that when he had created all things so beautiful and so good that all the angels shouted for joy. Yeah, the angels rejoiced in God's good creation as much as God himself rejoiced in his creation. They delighted in what God had made. But then when one of their own, Lucifer, the son of the dawn, wanted to be God rather than just to serve God, he was expelled from heaven, the scriptures say. And he exported his rebellion to the earth. And he dragged into his revolt the creatures that were made in the image of God, and man fell into sin. And of course, the heart of God was pierced through with pain. But so too were the hearts of the holy angels, who had taken such great delight in God's creation. They were grieved that God's creation was being destroyed. But at Christmas, the angels knew that the child in the manger was the one whom God had given to enact a plan of rescue and of redemption and of restoration. There, amongst the animals and the manure and the hay, God was raising up the horn of salvation, the devil's undoing, the hope of our world. And at last, Lucifer had met his match in the little child of Bethlehem. God was taking steps to restore the good creation that Lucifer had ruined. And so the angels sang. This was for them. Christmas was for them too. Gloria, they sang with gusto. Now, at first, the shepherds who heard that chorus didn't quite understand. They heard the words, but they didn't fully grasp that Christ had been born for them. So their response to the Gloria, their first response was not to sing Gloria themselves. But their first response was, well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, that the Lord has told us about. So they went with haste to Bethlehem, and they found the manger where Jesus lay asleep in the hay. And you can envision the scene, can't you? Mary picks the child up out of the manger and hands him to the shepherds for them to hold him. And they tell the story about how the angels had announced the birth of this child to them out in the fields. And that brought to mind, in Joseph's mind, that brought to mind the day when the angel came to him and said to him, the name of this child will be Jesus. And so he said to the shepherds, his name is Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He was born for you too, shepherds. And those crusty old shepherds holding that child, looking into the face of love's pure light, remembered then the angel's words, for unto you
Unto you is born this day a Savior. And the shepherds said, really? For us? For me? And Joseph said, yes, for you. The word Gloria has its origins in the Jewish Shekinah. That was the visible glory of God that hovered over the tabernacle and the temple in the pillar of fire. So bright was that presence of God, that Shekinah, that when it first came to the tabernacle, Moses couldn't even enter the courtyard until the Lord toned it down a bit, turned down the wattage a little bit. Glory is brightness. It was the brightness of the heavens when the angels sang the song. It was the brightness of the Shekinah hovering over the temple. It was the brightness in Mary's heart as she pondered these things, and in the heart of the shepherd as they received the message, he's born for us. And it's the brightness in your heart when you realize that Christ was born for you. He is your very own. That is a message that ignites an internal glory inside of us, an inner brightness that cannot help but sometimes come out in a gloria from our lips. It's similar to the inner glow of a child who discovers a present under the Christmas tree that has his name on it. And he gets all excited. It's for me. It's for me. And he squeals with delight. Some 400 years ago, Martin Luther wrote these words. Of what benefit would it be to me if Jesus would have been born 1,000 times and it would have been sung daily in my ears that Jesus Christ was born, but that I was never to hear that Jesus Christ was born for me? What good is Christmas without the words for you? What good is the gift of the Holy Child of Bethlehem if my name isn't on it and yours? I remember when our children were young, you could get them to sit on your lap without cutting circulation off to your legs. And we could cuddle and hug and giggle and read a book. And there were just moments when it would just all of a sudden hit you. This child is my very own, belonging to me and my wife and my family. And there was just this inner glow. You've felt it, haven't you? An inner glow of deep satisfaction. When you realize that Christ is your very own, not just for the whole world, not just for the shepherds, not just for the angels, but for you. He's yours. Your name is on the gift. And at that moment, the Gloria begins to glow in your heart. And when there's a Gloria in your heart, it's got to come out your lips sometimes. Gloria. In excelsis Deo. You know, we see this phenomenon, the Gloria in the heart coming out the lips. We see it many times in the Scriptures, especially in the ministry of Jesus. When the paralytic was lowered down through the roof in front of Jesus, and Jesus healed him, and he realized that Christ was for him. You know what Luke says he did? He glorified God. He added his voice to the chorus of the angels and sang the Gloria. When 10 lepers were healed, one of them went back to Jesus with a glow in his heart and said, thank you. And then he went away, the text says, glorifying God, joining his voice to the chorus of the angels. And there are lots of stories like that in the Scriptures, in the New Testament. But the most surprising one of all was that crusty-hearted Roman soldier centurion who supervised the crucifixion of Jesus. You talk about a Grinch with a heart three sizes too small to be able to do that to another human being. And yet seeing Jesus die, he confessed, truly, he was the Son of God. And there, under the cross of all places, he miraculously understood that the Son of God was for him. And the text says he glorified God. Quietly, he sang the Gloria in a voice that only a few people around him could hear. But he too joined the chorus of the angels. Do you see what they saw? Do you understand? Do you finally realize that God's Christmas gift has your name on it and that it's for you? Do you realize that eternal life is for you because He died? Do you realize that the healing of your wounds is for you because He took the stripes and the wounds in His body? Do you understand that forgiveness is yours because He made the sacrifice? Do you also know that the gift of a new birth and of a new start and of a new life are yours because He is risen from the dead? It's not just for the angels or for the shepherd or for the paralytic or for the lepers or for the centurion. They all sang the Gloria, but we sing with them. We sing the Gloria for the very same reason that all of them did. The Savior was born for us, for you. And when you understand that, when you hold that child in your arms, the glory of God, and you receive Him upon your lips in the Christ Mass that we are about to receive, oh, there arises within your heart the glow of the Gloria. And whether on pitch or in perfect monotone, you can't help but sing it. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all of you. Merry Christmas. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.